Hare Krishna. Question: how can we understand different devotees interpreting the moisture on the Panchatattva deities in different and even contradictory ways? You mentioned in your answer that the moisture on the deities was due to condensation, but Jannivas Prabhu has stated that it is a miracle and that it is an example or it is a demonstration of how the deities exhibit their extraordinary mercy on the Lord on us through performing this kind of miracles. And so how do we understand these contradictory statements, contradictory positions? Answer: I just talk with His Grace Jannivas Prabhu about this. His Grace Jannivas Prabhu is has always been my Shiksha Guru. He has answered many of my questions with his profound erudition and devotion, and I have great respect for him. So I called him on phone today and I talked with him, and when I told him the situation, then he immediately said that actually different devotees can have different positions on this issue, and there is nothing wrong in that. Everyone is entitled to their understanding based on Shastra. In fact, when I had given my answer, it was based on an answer which Pankajangri Prabhu had given. So Pankajangri Prabhu had written in an email to Mataji devotee, Vilasini Mataji. This email was circulated on Facebook and it came to me, based on which I gave my answer. So in this email, Pankajangri Prabhu had said that actually, because of the heat and because of the large crowd of devotees in the temple, there is a lot of moisture in the atmosphere, and then because of the condensation of that moisture, there's moisture appears in the deities, and we practically have to mop off all the moisture. So he says this does not mean that, now I'm quoting Pankajangri Prabhu's mail, this does not mean that Krishna cannot sweat or shed tears of ecstasy, but moisturization is a simple explanation. So then further he says that I asked once Vrajavasi Nandagao whether he had seen Krishna, and he replied to me that jo dekhte hai wo kehte nahi hai aur jo kehte hai unko dikhte nahi hai. That those who see Krishna, they don't speak about it, and those who speak about it, they never see him. So the overall tenor of Pankajangri Prabhu's mail was to downplay the miracle side of the event. So he explained moisturization, simple explanation. So my understanding of the issue was primarily based on Pankajangri Prabhu's email, and I put it in context of 3 points so that we could evaluate it systematically and we could understand it. Yes, certainly this 3-point analysis, it is a logical inference in Shastra also. When there is Shastra Mulak Vichar, it is Anuman, reasoning, it is called as Vichar. So here it was a 3-point reasoning by which one can evaluate the authenticity of miracles. This is for those situations where there is no explicit Shastric statement about a particular issue. So in the Shastra, when there is direct description of Kirchor Gopinath stealing milk or Gopalji appearing in a dream or whatever, then these are clearly accepted as miracles. They are given in the sacred books for us. But when events like these happen, where there is no direct scriptural statement, nobody is disagreeing on whether Krishna can perform such miracles or not. What is the issue of discussion is that whatever has happened in a particular situation, how is that to be understood based on the circumstances? So here, so the This debate is not about Siddhanta. Debate is not about Shastra. The debate about understanding the circumstances in the light of Shastra. So, now when I gave my answer, I did not quote Pankaj Angri Prabhu because I thought that is the standard position, and all that I needed to do in my answer was just explain that position. So now we may get this question, how do we understand that two Vaishnavas are having different positions on the same issue? So I asked this to Yannivas Prabhu, and he himself said that, different devotees can have different opinions. Why make a big hue and cry about it? So he himself said further that they have also experienced moisturization happening on deities in the temple, especially when it's very hot outside, and then they have air conditioner, and then between 1 to 4 when the deities are when the altar is closed and the deities are going to rested, then when 4 o'clock they go to wake the deities, at that time similar moisture is there on the faces and the body of the deities. So that moisture as an explanation is also a feasible explanation, is also a defensible explanation. So basically his Yannivas Prabhu said that there is no need for any excessive controversy on this issue. So now the point to understand is that we don't have to see differences of opinion, disagreements, as necessarily signs of disrespect. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna in 18.3 says that uses the word manishinaha to refer to those who say that yagya dana tapak karma tyajyam karyam eva tat. So that those who say that some people say that yagya dana tapa, these should be given up. Tyajyam karma prahur manishinaha. So now some people say like this. So Krishna is using the word manishinaha. Manishinaha is those who are great thinkers, mana ishu, those who control their minds. And yet Krishna says, na tyajyam karyam eva tat. In 5th, 6th verses, he clearly says that yagya dana tapa karma are not to be given up. So here we see that Krishna talks about, gives an opinion of someone whose opinion he refutes, and still he refers to them respectfully as manishinaha. So disagreements do not have to generate into disrespect. I had written a whole Gita Daily article on GitaDaily.com on this topic itself. So the point is that even in our, if we look back at our tradition, there are, as I had mentioned through the example of Balabhadra Bhattacharya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and there are similar examples of where there has been a careful and even critical examination of supernatural claims. And of course, there is also a tradition of accepting the supernatural claims and seeing them as miracles done by Krishna. So there are both these strands which are there in this tradition, the tradition. And at present, when we see that different devotees are holding different positions, then we can understand that the tradition is still alive and vibrant. So now, there is, again, to emphasize the point, there is no disagreement on Shastra. There is no doubt about Krishna's potency to perform miracles when he manifests as the deity. The question is, how do we understand a particular circumstance? So there can be different devotees who may take different positions, and there is no need to for devotees who have one position to label the other position by some bad labels. There is no need for one set of devotees to call the other devotees sahajiyak, sentimental, or something like that, and no need for the other group of devotees to call the first group of devotees as skeptical, atheistic, envious, or whatever. Now, there can be respectful differences. This is an issue where we are all united in our desire to understand how Krishna is manifesting. And the way Krishna manifests is, we are all two small beings, and if we see different senior Vaishnavas having different opinions, we don't have to make a big issue out of it. So the important point to recognize is that as long as the understandings are within the broad framework of the tradition, we shouldn't think of Siddhanta as just one straight line. No, there is a broad circle of what is compatible with Shastra. And there can be different positions which are compatible with Shastra. And it is not that one position is accurate and everything else is deviant. So, now, moving forward, if we look at the current situation, yes, there may be some devotees who may see this as the deities manifesting their mood through the tears or the sweat. Now, even among those who consider this as manifesting the action of the deities, but there is also a difference of opinion whether it was the deity shedding tears of ecstasy or whether it was the deity sweating. So the point is, there can be multiplicity of interpretations even within the idea that there is a miracle that has happened. What to speak of whether there is a miracle happened or whether it can be attributed to natural causes. So we can live with differences, and there is no need to label one position as wrong and other position as right. Now, Prabhupada has built a house in which the whole world can live. So if the whole world can live in this house, then can groups, two sets of devotees with different opinions on one miracle claim cannot live together? Is the house big enough for the whole world to be accommodated, but so small that two groups of devotees on having two different positions on one particular miracle claim can't be accommodated? I hope and pray not. Now, devotees, as long as their understanding is in the broad purview of Shastra, devotees have a right to continue as devotees in a way that works for their head and heart. So, some devotees, for them their head and heart may be nourished by seeing this event as a miracle, and that is the way they feel inspired in devotional service. And other devotees may feel that they are being true to their head and heart, the way they have understood bhakti, they have seen the way Srila Prabhupada treated supernatural claims, and they may feel that, you know, they would prefer to reserve judgment and not consider this to be a miracle, especially when natural explanation is easily available. As Pangajangri puts it, a simple explanation. Devotees have that freedom to choose whichever explanation they want to accept. And there is no need for a conflict on this issue. And anyway, the main point of my answer was not questioning the miracle claim itself, but to provide a broad framework for evaluating discussion issues like this, and most importantly, for emphasizing that we shouldn't let this distract us from our practical performance of devotional service. And this practical performance of devotional service is the foundation for the most consequential miracle, the miracle of the transformation of the heart, the purification of our heart, the redirection of our heart towards Krishna, that comes by the dedicated performance of devotional service. And His Grace Jamnivas Prabhu himself is a great example of dedicated devotional service, and I seek his blessings so that I can also get a drop of his dedication. Now, and there have been many comments and questions about this particular issue which have come on my site and on YouTube also. So I won't be, rather than agonizing further on an issue where different positions are possible and are defensible, let us all focus on the one issue on which we all agree. That is kirtan. It is the kirtan of the Lord, which is capable, is supremely potent. It is capable of bringing about miracles within and without. So let us, rather than agonize on interpreting this issue in different ways, let us focus on performing the kirtan, on glorifying the Lord of our heart wholeheartedly and undistractedly. Thank you. Hare.